race is a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Back in the 2020 election, you'll remember the FBI using the quote-unquote insurance policy to defeat Trump. What was it? A pack of lies about him being a Russian agent. That's what they called it. The insurance policy. The insurance policy that Americans would not be allowed to elect Donald Trump. Ultimately, it worked. Folks, right now, the FBI is running a whole new insurance policy program with a whole new set of hoaxes. It's almost as if the FBI is coordinating their messaging with the Democrats. First, Joy Reid said it on MSNBC. Did Trump's ear really get shot off with a bullet? Or did Trump fake this entire thing?
We still don't know for sure whether Donald Trump was hit by a bullet, whether he was hit by glass fragments, whether he was hit by shrapnel. We don't have those details. We actually have no details from his physician, even though this man is still a Secret Service protected presidential candidate.
Now listen to Christopher Wray, head of the FBI, under oath before Congress, pretend not to know if Trump's ear was actually hit by a bullet or maybe it was glass. Folks, these are the same exact talking points.
With respect to former President Trump, there's some question about whether or not it's a bullet or shrapnel that, you know, that hit his ear.
The FBI then doubled down, saying, well, we're going to be able to figure it out unless they talk to Trump. But, man, they can't talk to Trump because he's refusing to come in for an interview. What is that? That makes him look guilty of a crime. Criminals who don't come in, they refuse to come in. But they're criminals. They're guilty, right? During the 2020 campaign, we had no idea the extent of FBI censorship that was taking place on social media. We do now from the Supreme Court case, Missouri v. Biden, and also from the Twitter files. But back then, we had no idea that it was the FBI that had gotten tens of thousands of accounts deleted, millions of social media posts and tweets. Well, they're doing it again. You think it's an accident that Facebook had an accident where they marked that famous Trump photo with the blood pouring out of his ear as fake and actually sent people warnings that if they didn't take it down, their posts would be limited algorithmically so that people couldn't see them, that the photo was fake? Folks, that is right out of the 2020 FBI playbook. So on the one hand, they create the fake message. That's the insurance policy. Nah, he wasn't hit in the ear. Did Trump tell you he was hit in the ear with a bullet? Remember, that was the highlight of his speech at the convention when he said, I would only talk about it one time. That was the clip everybody played. So this is the FBI making it look like, wow, this guy's sketchy. He's lying to you. We don't even know if he got hit by a bullet. He's covering it up. He won't come in and talk to us. Well, that right there, That's coordinated with the Democrat Party. When you hear Joy Reid and Christopher Wray talking off the same talking points, that's what's going on. Then we find out yesterday, under oath, congressional testimony from Deputy Director of the FBI, Paul Abadi, that they knew the whole time Trump had his ear blown off with a bullet.
Senator, there is absolutely no doubt in the FBI's mind former President Trump was hit with the with a bullet and wounded in the ear. No doubt there never has been.
Okay.
I've been part of this investigation since the very beginning, and that has never been raised.
You're sure?
Yes.
So the FBI is the one running the criminal investigation of the attempted assassination. He's been part of it from the beginning, and that was never in doubt. So why did Christopher Wray lie about it? To get the headlines. 70% of people get their news in America now primarily from social media, and over 60% don't read past the headlines. That headline, doubting whether Trump was even shot or if he was lying about it, that one hung around for almost a week. The damage is done. Now that the record's been corrected, it's not going to matter. Only news junkies are going to see it. See how this works? This is a joint media campaign, much like the Russia hoax, between the FBI and the Democrat Party. And now there's a new lie. They can't have the American people know the truth that Crooks, the assassin, was weaponized by Democrat rhetoric. months and days, maybe even years of hearing about the need for the elimination of Donald Trump and how he's going to put death squads in the street because he now has total immunity. It's all a lie, but it pushed crooks over the edge. The FBI knows it, but they've got to cover it up because it would really hurt the Democrats. So what do you do? First, they tell the lie he had no social media. We don't know what his motive was. Well, that lie got debunked this week by Andrew Torba, who's the CEO of the right-wing social media site Gab, who said, look, crooks had a social media account on our site. And he says, I can't believe no one from our intelligence agencies has even contacted me. Oh, I can. They don't want to discover his motive because they know it already. Folks, they have access to the NSA database, okay? They typically, in a typical year, illegally search it somewhere between 200,000 and a million times. They know everything about crooks. They know where all of his, you know, social media accounts are. Okay, so what do? They send Deputy FBI Director Paul Abadi out to tell this lie. Oh, we have found a social media account. Yeah, from when he was 14, and he sounds awfully like a right winger.
Something just very recently uncovered that I want to share is a social media account which is believed to be associated with this, with the shooter. Some of these comments, if ultimately attributable to the shooter, appear to reflect anti-Semitic and anti-immigration themes, to espouse political violence, and are described as extreme in nature.
Now, try this. Go to Google and put in Deputy Director FBI. That's it. And you know what comes up? Page after page after page of articles about how Crooks was a right-wing extremist, according to the FBI. And you know what got blocked out? This. The fact that that account was from when he was 14. And Deputy Director Paul Abadi didn't mention the one from 2021 on Gab. In fact, it was so outrageous yesterday, Andrew Torba, the CEO of Gab, accused Abadi of perjuring himself at a felony level before Congress for claiming that Crooks was a right-wing lunatic. Why? Because the Gab account is full of pro-Biden, pro-open borders, pro-lockdown liberal talking points. Here's Marsha Blackburn forcing Abadi to admit this at the same hearing. Of course, the media left this part out of their coverage. The point was to generate the headlines. That's what the FBI and the Democrats are doing right now.
And then we understand that the Gab account is pro-immigration, pro-lockdown, leftist views. Is that accurate?
I haven't seen it directly, but I believe from what I've been told, that is accurate. With the Gab account, we're also, though that's been publicly revealed through the CIO and other things, we're still working to certify and verify that that's his account also. But it does have differing points of view, it would appear.
Yeah, you can hear his nervousness in his voice. He's been caught in a lie. He knows it. Now, here's Senator Blackburn going in for the kill. Isn't this Gab account much more recent? Why didn't you mention it? Because he's a liar. That's why. And wild how he doesn't mention it in his open statement, but as soon as he's confronted about it, he knows all about the Gab account that made it clear that this Democrat donor and assassin was also a liberal troll online.
Okay. And what age and how fresh is that Gab account?
The Gab account, based on my recollection, the comments in there or the messaging is from about 2021, I believe.
Okay. And the other preceded that? Maybe he was age 14?
Yes, Senator. The other account that we talked about was in the 2019-2020 timeframe. So it would have been in the couple years right before the Gab
message. Right messaging. Before that.
But Abadi didn't mention the Gab account. And the FBI lied, saying he had no social media. Now, their new lie is, well, we can't get in. It's encrypted. But the Gab account isn't encrypted. In fact, CEO Andrew Torba tried to give them the contents. And he finally got a letter from the FBI after he forced the issue by going public, demanding the contents last week. In other words, the FBI had no interest before. They were trying to bury this. But that's not all they're trying to bury. So, folks, there is something huge here. And Jesse Waters on Fox News got really close to what it is last night.
And why don't we know the name of the Secret Service site supervisor in Butler? The man who made all these wrong calls all at once, all on the same day?
Who was the lead site agent who made the decision to leave the AGR building completely outside of the security perimeter? Who was that?
Senator, I cannot give you that name. This person is operational. They're still doing investigations. They're still doing protective visits.
Have they been relieved of duty?
Senator, they have not been relieved
name,
of duty.
I know their name, by the way. Why have they not been relieved of duty?
They are still cooperating, not only being interviewed by the FBI, but also by our Office of Professional Responsibility.
Why hasn't the Secret Service site supervisor for the Butler rally been suspended? Why is he still in charge of protecting politicians? Why isn't he under investigation? They're keeping him around to help do the investigation? Are they going to keep him around for Trump's next Butler rally? And the senators know the guy's name. Why hasn't the Senate subpoenaed the Secret Service site supervisor for Butler? That's the guy who they should drag in to testify under oath about what happened, not these squirrely bureaucrats. Why is everybody protecting this guy? Who is this guy? The politicians won't even tell us what the guy's name is. Something stinks. And you know what I'm talking about.
And that's not even the craziest part. I'll tell you what that is in just a minute. But first, I want to thank the folks at PhD Weight Loss for sponsoring this podcast, for the 29 pounds I've lost, but for the fact that for the first time in my life, my weight isn't all over the place. For the last 16, almost 17 months, I have managed to maintain my size 6 body. I finally gave away all the other sizes to Goodwill because I finally feel confident enough I'm not going to need them. That is the power of the maintenance phase. And you know what? I'm so glad I didn't opt to go with those shots that you can get with a doctor's prescription. People I know have had side effects from those. Not all of them, but some. I'd be on that for life right now. Instead, I did it the all-natural way with PhD Weight Loss. So find out if this might be a good route forward for you. Go to myphdweightloss.com. You can do it from any state in the nation. Myphdweightloss.com. Tell them Tara sent you. Now back to the podcast. Here's the other weird thing about this assassination attempt. It seems like those in charge will do just about anything to, number one, not reveal the names of those who were in charge that day, but number two, separate from them in any way. There is a move on to make sure they don't get fired. We've seen it in both congressional hearings. It's as if there's some reason they don't want to cut them loose. They want them to maintain their jobs. Here's an appalling exchange between Senator Josh Hawley and the acting director of the Secret Service, Ronald Rowe. Now, you should know this. Rowe cut back the number of snipers around Donald Trump. And what he said was that he wasn't going to send a full contingent. This is real clear politics. If Donald Trump held the rally outside driving distance from Washington, D.C., well, everywhere around there is blue. Trump doesn't need to win those areas. He needs to be out in flyover country. So this guy, acting director Ronald Rowe, was directly involved for scaling back the snipers. I'll put that link in the podcast description. Now, he doesn't want you to know who made the decisions that almost got Trump killed, should have gotten Trump killed.
The person who decided, who made the decision to send Donald Trump on the stage knowing that you had a security situation, has that person been relieved of duty?
No, sir, they haven't.
Has the person who decided not to pull the former president off of stage when you knew that, in your words, the locals were working a serious security situation, has that person been relieved of duty?
No, sir. Again, I refer you back to my original answer that we are investigating this through a mission assurance. And as opposed to zeroing in on one,
what more do you need to investigate to know
exactly
what more do you need to investigate
was?
To know that there were critical enough failures that some individuals ought to be held accountable? I mean, what more do you need to know?
What I need to know is exactly what happened, and I need my investigators to do their job. And I cannot,
a lot of people didn't do their
I cannot
jobs.
Put my thumb on the scale. Otherwise,
what do you mean put your thumb
the
on
objective,
the scale?
You're asking me, Senator, to completely make a rush to judgment about somebody failing. I acknowledge this was a failure of the
Secret
Service.
Is it not prima facie that somebody has failed? A former president was shot.
Sir, this could have been our Texas school book depository. I have lost sleep over that for the last 17 days,
been
just like you have.
Somebody
and I will tell you, Senator, that I will not rush to judgment, that people will be held accountable, and I will do so with integrity and not rush to judgment and put people unfairly persecuted. Have to be able to have a proper investigation into this, Senator.
You said earlier that you've got to make sure that your protocols are followed, and unless there's a protocol violation, people wouldn't be disciplined. I would just say to you, I don't really care that much about your protocols. I think if your protocols don't provide for the fact that when a former president is shot, when an American is killed, when other rally goers, innocent people who just showed up on the day, when they are shot at and critically wounded, if that isn't a protocol violation, prima facie, you should revise your protocols.
Senator, I think this is where you and I agree.
Shockingly, in another part of this hearing, he admitted that not only are all these people still working, they might still be working Trump events. Folks, that's like ringing the dinner bell for every ISIS terrorist, Iranian assassin who's crossed our border or who might do it now to come for Trump. But it was this that was most galling. Acting Director Ronald Rowe did have some blame, and he cast it on the only people who did something. I documented on my show yesterday how the only people who tried to stop Trump's assassination were local cops, including four traffic cops who were only there working off duty, assisting with parking, walked off their duty to try to stop the assassin. They all saw him. There was a SWAT team. They tried to stop him. And by 2.5 minutes before the shooting, cops, local cops, not the feds, but local cops had surrounded the building that the shooter was on top of. They knew he was there. They don't even have the Secret Service training. In other words, local cops were the only ones who tried to stop Trump's assassination. Another key thing that came out yesterday from the hearing that Fox News reported, it doesn't matter if there were digital communication errors or problems because local police went directly to the feds, to the Secret Service, and verbally told them the guy was on site. They could have easily pulled Trump off the stage. They did not. This stinks to high heaven. Now, listen to the acting director say the only failure here was a failure of imagination. The only failure here was on the part of the local cops. Folks, those were the only folks who tried to stop Trump's assassination. This is coming from the guy you just heard say he didn't want to persecute Secret Service agents who failed and caused the death of a man who had to throw his body on his wife and daughter to keep them safe. They would be persecuting them to criticize or fire them, but he can persecute the local cops who actually did try to stop it. It's outrageous, but keep in mind what he's deflecting from, okay? Who is ultimately responsible for securing the best vantage point for assassinating the president, which was the top of the AGR glass building? Well, it was locals. Okay, but why was it locals? Because somebody, and we're not allowed to know the name, drew the AGR glass building outside the perimeter. That person is who we need to talk to. That person's who we need to fire. After we get a look at their search history and see what their involvement with the Democrat Party and maybe other intel agencies is, we need to know who that is. And there's a reason they won't let us know. Or at a minimum, they're going to try to keep us from finding out till after the election. Folks, it's going to be explosive when we get this information, or they wouldn't fight this hard to keep us from getting it. That is what the acting director, Ron Rowe, is deflecting from here when he actually blames, again, the only people who tried to save Trump, the local cops, SWAT, who walked off their assigned duties and tried to save the president's life.
This was a failure of imagination, a failure to imagine that we actually do live in a very dangerous world where people do actually want to do harm to our protectees. I think it was a failure to challenge our own assumptions, the assumptions that we know our partners are going to do everything they can, and they do this every day. But we didn't challenge our own assumptions of, we assume that someone's going to cover that. We assume that there's going to be uniform presence. We didn't challenge that internally during that advance.
But that's the thing. There was no failure. They did their jobs. And when the Secret Service wouldn't respond to their desperate pleas about crooks that started an hour and 40 minutes before the bullets flew, they abandoned their assigned jobs and tried to save Trump. That's what's so remarkable here. And it's what he wants to make sure you forget.
Battleground America with Tara Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.